'Twas the in the pocket across the pond before Christmas. And all through the league, not a creature was stirring, apart from Dan Campbell going for it on 4th and 53. That, does that work?
I don't. A little bit.
You got to give him. He set the mood. He set the atmosphere.
He set almost... the mood, but was there a connection between Dan Campbell and 4th and 53?
Yeah, because he goes from 4th down all the time.
Yeah, but maybe you should have gone 4th and 12, 12 days of Christmas. 4th and 34, Miracle on 34th Street.
No, well, 53 sort of half rhymes with league. And also, I thought...
Or Christmas tree.
No, but it's got to... And also, what we do is when people make jokes, sometimes they exaggerate things, Al. Just so... And I was exaggerating Dan Campbell, you know, going for on 4th down and stuff. Welcome into In the Pocket Across the Pond, holiday special, 3rd annual. A little bit of housekeeping up top. There will not be an episode of the podcast next week. The days that we usually record on fall on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Enough said. There won't be an episode of the podcast next week, but we will still be doing projection beaters, and we'll post a little. We'll still be coming up with our projection beaters, and then there'll be a graphic on the Instagram. But in that, this is our Christmas special, lads. Welcome back in. 'Twas the in the pocket across the pond before Christmas is the title of this one. How are you doing this Yuletide season?
Excellent. In the semi-finals of the main league playoffs, team went completely off last week, so I'm pretty good.
And Sharples?
Sorry, you don't normally ask us how we're doing, so I'm just surprised. I'm doing okay. My team also went off, but as we all know, it was too little too late. So I'm currently storming the toilet bowl playoffs.
Storming the toilet bowl playoffs is what you usually do on a Saturday night as well. Let's get into Christmas past, shall we? The week 15 games.
Well done.
Cheers. I mean, that's the same one as it is every year. A lot of these categories are the same every year, just recycling. What if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The Bills beat the Detroit Lions 48-42. I think that scoreline's a little bit flattering to Detroit. Bit of garbage time there. Al, tell us about this one, because, again, it was another one of those games, like I said last week, great offensively, worrying defensively.
Yeah, classic example, though, of just the Bills completely not letting the Lions play the game that they wanted to play.
Yeah.
You know, how many rushing attempts did the Lions rushers have here? You know, Jahmyr Gibbs 8 carries, Montgomery 5 carries. You think about what that Lions kind of offense is predicated on and what they rely on to open the passing game up, but also just to kind of beat opponents down. The Bills just did not let them do anything they wanted to. And, you know, Goff's stats are unbelievable on paper, but if you watch the game, yeah, like you're saying, Lou, this was a bit of garbage time, and the Bills, I thought the Bills thoroughly beat them, actually.
They did.
They were like, the Lions were down by a lot quick in this game.
Yeah, and it's sort of, like you said, they didn't allow them to play the game plan they wanted to play, and subsequently sort of made that Lions game plan look a little bit silly, because, you know, on any other day, them going for an onside kick with 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, you're like, yeah, go on, Lions, whatever. No, it just looks stupid. That was a really poor decision. But also, Sharples, I mean, I'll throw it to you for this bit, that just shows how little faith the Lions themselves have in their defence, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. And I was going to get your guys' opinion on this, because we've had a few like high-scoring games like this against two big teams, and obviously the win's the most important thing. But do we need to be worried about some of these defences?
I do. I think so. The Lions, definitely.
They're really, I'm beginning to think they might be too injured to go on this Super Bowl run.
Just lost another star on defense as well, I believe, the Lions.
Exactly.
I mean, Detroit, sorry, the Buffalo, I don't know. I think you probably should be as well. But when you can put up virtually 50 points every game, fine. Mm. Yeah, I think the key reason why we feel differently here, because I don't think stats-wise, both of these defences have been shocking. Just one of these teams has Josh Allen. So
yeah. It is one of those where it's funny, the narrative is always funny, where it's a bit like, and again, it's another thing we hear every year, it's like, oh, you see, Josh Allen's not alone anymore. You know, he's got weapons now, you know, and then they proceed to me to prove the point that it actually is still just Josh Allen, because 11 receivers today, blah, 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 and yeah. It's been like, that to me is saying that it's all him again. That to me is saying that there's no standout piece. I mean, James Cook was unbelievable in this game, and wow, that guy's fast. But yeah, I mean, receiving wise, the fact that he's thrown it to so many people shows me more that it is still just him.
Yeah.
And really I think he's locked the MVP up with that game as well.
Yeah,
I think he probably has. And like, you know, they brought in Cooper to be that sort of pseudo number one, and he's just an absolutely nothing.
I keep forgetting he's on that team.
I know.
Did he
mad.
Play? Did he play? I'm looking at his job.
Yeah, exactly. Did he play? He might be injured. Might still be injured. Wrist injury. I know, but
I'll look that up.
Look that up. But yeah, I started to. I mean, seeing how much the Bills beat down Detroit and how much this Detroit defense was getting beat up on ice. To feel less and less likely.
Amari Cooper blanked in week 15 shootout, did not see a target.
So he was out there, great. How many snaps did he have? Yeah. That's like, I don't know, something, you know. But
I'm not sure.
I started to think less and less that this is going to be the Super Bowl preview, because, I don't know, it just feels like Detroit, if this defense can't shore things up, that someone on the road to that Super Bowl will beat him. Probably the Packers.
32 of the 70 offensive snaps.
32 of 70. So he was almost 50%.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd still expect him to get more than what he did do. Moving on, though. Buccaneers 40, Chargers 17. Ooh, the Buccaneers sure know how to beat down on good teams. They held the Chargers scoreless in the second half, which is, yeah, mental. Also, no teams put up 40 on the Chargers this year, because that's the generally a well-coached, good defense. But, that's just the way this Bucs team is. Baker Mayfield, on the fringes of the MVP conversation, you could say. I mean, 32 passing touchdowns so far this season, which is a career high for him, Sharples. What can this Bucs team do in the playoffs? Like, they've beaten Detroit. What's the ceiling?
For me, it's probably, I think they could be spicy in the first round and then maybe knock a big team off, but then go in the second. I don't see them going all the way to the Super Bowl or even the finals. I don't think the defense is really good enough for me. And Mike Evans and Baker look great together, but I don't think they have that. Yeah, enough pieces around them, but it's like what we're saying about the Rams, although I think, to be fair, the Rams now are getting enough steam to be a legit team, but it's like what we've been saying the past couple of weeks. Buccaneers are one of them teams that you really don't want to draw in the first round, because they could go off. But for me, not quite enough to make a deep run. But I was really hoping for a little bit more from the Chargers with this game, not necessarily to win, but you know, they're really, you know, they're on the fringes and in the hunt for the playoffs, and to come out and just take a paste in. I think at the start of the year they were more in line with where I thought they'd be, and then they put on a good run and you thought, oh, maybe. But I think for me this just shows their limitations, and when you think about it, you know, they completely dismantled the wide receiver core and obviously went in on the running game, which is Harbaugh's style. But I think back to the drawing board for them next season, really.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they have shown promise, and still still in with a shout of the playoffs. But Steelers 13, Eagles 27. Jalen Hurts in the presser afterwards came out and said, "That's what y'all wanted to see," referring to the passing game getting going. Convincing on both sides of the ball, this, Al, from the Eagles.
Yeah, the Steelers seemed a bit overmatched in this one. I thought they put up a bit more of a fight. That Jalen Hurts version of the Cousins, you like that, so, you know, that's nice. Yeah, Brown involved. They're looking more and more like the favourites in the NFC, the Eagles.
I agree. Just because as well, yeah, I mean, that's a good Steelers team, really, who have been winning games, and to hold them defensively and also have the way with them offensively, when it wasn't a particularly huge game for Saquon Barkley as well. Multiple facets to this team, to this offense. I saw a stat that said they're unbeaten since Nick Sirianni shaved his head. So, make of that what you will.
Nice.
AFC, Dolphins 12, Texans 20. Texans secured the AFC South with this win. I mean, both of you answered, but are they even as good as last year, though, the Texans?
Nope.
No, they're not.
So what's going on here, then? Enlighten us, because, you know, they're winning games. And I know we're all watching it. We know it's not as convincing, but I don't know why, Al. Why do you think that is, that this team has just sort of stalled a bit?
I think I mentioned last week, obviously, you've had the injuries. They had an easier schedule last year, plus people know what kind of what they do this year. You know, there's a year of tape on CJ Stroud. I don't think he's been protected all that well either. No. I think it's just a bit of a coming back down to earth. The years are probably mixed around. This is probably what last year should have looked like, and then last year is probably what this year should have looked like.
Yeah, I agree. But they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be in with a shout. A team who probably aren't going to be in the playoffs, possibly thanks to, I mean, obviously a lot of stuff goes on in the league. A lot of plays happen. A lot of games happen. There's a lot of minutes that go down to whether you're in the playoffs or not. But you could make a legitimate argument to say that Jonathan Taylor dropping the ball before the touchdown has cost the Indianapolis Colts a playoff position, because, you should get dropped if you do this. The Jonathan Taylor incredible run for no reason whatsoever and no pressure, drops it just before the end zone. They were ahead at that point in the game. And he scores that touch.
They've almost put the game out. It would have seemed like they'd put the game out of reach. Yeah.
And it's a completely different complexion of the game. If he scores that touchdown, he doesn't. Denver come back, score a load of points in the fourth quarter and win. Sharples, I mean, what? Do you agree that he should be dropped for this? Someone else did this as well, a defensive player. I can't remember what team it was on.
Yeah, it was the Bengals.
The Bengals, yeah, did the same thing as well. Yeah. But yeah,
didn't,
similar thing.
I don't know if it ended up counting, but didn't Kyle Pitts do it this year?
Almost. So Kyle Pitts almost had the ball knocked out of his hand, but Malachi Corley, the Jets rookie, did this in like the exact same spot of the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think dropping him, I do get it that, you know, there should be a fine there, but I think dropping him at this point just feels a bit excessive for that. I mean, it's already been a rubbish season for them. I think if you drop him now, his head probably completely goes. I mean, they need, I don't even know what they're going to be next year. I don't really want any part of the Colts offense next year already.
Yeah.
So listen, I don't know. I'm not a head coach. I'd certainly be giving some punishment, but to drop him for that at this point, I think you'd just lose him.
I know. It's extreme, but it's like those players that are just, there's no reason to do it. No. You cannot account for that in any form of, predictability, statistics, you cannot predict the guy dropping the ball as he's running into the end zone as some sort of weird celebration. Mm-hmm. Weird, like what's it called? Russian roulette celebration. Like, but yeah.
Sorry, Lee, just while we're on the Broncos, because I don't really think we've spoken about them that much. What do we think of them? Is Sean Payton the coach that people thought he was in New Orleans? Is it
that, yeah.
Bo Nix just been better than expected? What's the temperature on the?
I know that was going to be my next question. To be fair, yeah, literally. No. This is how in sync we are on this podcast. And to be fair, like we don't have like a shared doc. Otherwise, that would have been less impressive. but we just on the same wavelength. Yeah, the Broncos. I don't know. They sort of march into the playoffs. Obviously, a well-coached team, quarterback with a lot of potential. Yeah, I think Peyton, as much as he seems like a gimp, obviously a good head coach. Obviously, he's. You see what Russell Wilson's done at the Steelers and you see what he's doing now. And you're sort of baffled as to how that didn't work last year because both of them have success now. But I'd say he has vindicated himself. He has been like, right, that the whole run at the Saints wasn't just, you know, one franchise guy and done. I think he is going to be the coach of this team long term. And with this quarterback as well, who knows what they could do in years to come. Really, I'd say that on the Broncos. Not this year, I don't think, but very promising, I think, from if you're a Broncos fan, from my perspective. But
you've got to be impressed with Bo Nix, because the thing about him was he was kind of the, you know, him and Jaden Daniels, two of the more experienced quarterbacks. I mean, Bo Daniels, based on college games played, was the most experienced quarterback ever until Dylan Gabriel, who's currently playing for Oregon, who are the favourites to win the national championship. But I mean, so you expect him to come in as kind of like a safe pair of hands, someone who's going to be ready to play, but he was always someone who was kind of worked within a system and he was a very clean quarterback. So I think the fact that he's making all these off-schedule plays has been the most surprising thing with Bo Nix, because that wasn't supposed to be who he was. So I think I've been really impressed with him. I think he's looked really good.
Yeah, I agree. He has. Promising things ahead. Bengals 37, Titans 27. Bengals scoring for fun again. You know, the Bengals are fifth in the league in points per game, and obviously they're not going to get in the playoffs. The next non-playoff team is Seattle in 14th. So that's how gutted you. They just started too late.
And they had two games where they scored like 39 points and lost or something.
Yeah. That's it. But, you know, I'd say maybe next year, but they'll just start late again. That seems to be the thing with this Bengals team. How do you assess this if you're the Bengals organization? Because you're going to miss the playoffs, but your team now and for the majority of the season hasn't played bad. They're actually playing very well on offense. How do you assess this? Like, what do you do? Can you go in there and fire the head coach when they're fifth in points per game?
Probably just going to have to write it off, aren't they? Yeah, have to write it off.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they have to do internal review. You know, do they believe... the coaching staff, everything is right, and it was just a bad year. But I mean, they've been really good recently, but I remember they started really bad this year, like the first six or seven games, you know, they were pretty much done by then. So I do think you have to look into that and just recognise the fact that as long as you've got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, you're always going to have a chance at winning the game. So is it just a case of you've got two superstars who've dragged them over the line at times? Job for the GM, I guess.
Yeah. That's it. Titans, valiant effort in this game, but they're a long way off competing. And Will Levis's starting quarterback career in the NFL, I think, is done. Rams won a painful 12-6 game with the 49ers. Rams are now top of the AFC West. Packers beat the Seahawks, which ironically sent the Vikings into the playoffs. But the Vikings also won on Monday Night Football to sort of double cement that. Chiefs finally won by 2 scores. Jets finally turned on the gas as soon as it didn't matter anymore. And the Panthers, here to confirm, the Panthers are crap again because they got beaten by the Cowboys. Imagine getting beat by the Cowboys. Impressive victory, Al.
I'm going to go with the Bills because they thoroughly handled the team that we've been saying is the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, Sherples?
I went Packers, just facing a Seahawks team that was surging, won 4 in a row and just completely handled them. And it's obviously a key point in the season for the Packers. They need to keep winning, and they did.
Yeah. I went the Buccaneers because, like I said before, like, you know, Chargers, decent team, but put 40 up against them, comfortable win. Not buying it, win, Al?
I went for Houston for a lot of the same reasons that we were talking about before. You know, they're going to get in the playoffs, they're going to win that division. But, I mean, it was pretty sloppy, this win against the Dolphins, a really poor Dolphins side. Yeah, wasn't impressed by what I saw.
Sherples?
I went for the Falcons, because by the looks of it, the higher-ups in the Falcons also didn't buy it, seeing as they dropped Kirk Cousins for Michael Penix after they scraped by the Raiders.
Yeah. I went with the Commanders because, they made what I guess should have been a pretty comfortable win for where they want to be. Very hard against the Saints. Worst team in the league, Al?
I'm torn between a couple here. I want to say the Giants because I think they're just it's quite unbelievable how uncompetitive they are as an NFL team. But it's a little bit more believable than how uncompetitive the Bears are, given the people who play for the Bears. So I'm going to go the Bears.
Ooh, nice, Sherples.
But I'm going to preface this one because they're obviously not the worst team, but and they have been riddled with injuries. But just in terms of expectation, and they're in a game against an in-division rival, which if they win could propel themselves into the playoffs, to put up 6 points, I had to go for the Niners. And then couple that with all the antics with Devondre Campbell. For a team that's this good, this feels like rock bottom.
Yeah. Spitting toys out of the pram and all that sort of stuff as well. Not used to being crap. I also went with the Giants. Well, I know you went with the Bears. I went with the Giants because the full reset mode for this team again.
Yeah. I mean, some nice garbage time for Malik Nabers if you had him on your fantasy team. Just a quick one on the San Francisco. Maybe it's one of those where maybe it's time to just part ways. Maybe, you know, Andy Reid, we weren't watching the NFL in the 2000s, early 2010s, but by all accounts, he was an excellent head coach of the Eagles. Didn't necessarily get to like the Super Bowls that Shanahan has with San Francisco, but he was an excellent head coach with the Eagles for a good number of years, and there was a thought there that it was time to part ways, and obviously that's worked out for both teams, Eagles and especially Chiefs. So I don't know, maybe it's just time Shanahan and the 49ers part ways.
Yeah, and if that happened, it would be interesting because you'd see a bunch of good teams inexplicably fire the head coaches to get him in. Let's move on, though, to the naughty and nice list, lads. The naughty and nice list. Folks that have been nice this year, Devontae Adams certainly was. 9 for 198 and 2. When it doesn't matter at all. Well done, sir. Josh Allen, on this absolutely historic run of games, he was 362 for 2 through the air and 68 for 2 on the ground. Same game, other side, Jared Goff, 494 for 5. And 13 rushing yards. I thought that was quite notable. His teammate Amon-Ra St. Brown certainly felt some of those passing yards. He got 14 for 193 and 1. Love to see this next guy, Mike Evans, on the nice list, as he should be. 9 for 159 and 2. Mike Evans needs 251 receiving yards in the next three games to get to 1,000. Which is,
I mean,
absolutely
what was
doable.
That? 251. Yeah. I mean, so, it seems like a lot. Has he missed? Yeah,
he missed
time. A lot of
he was
games.
On IR. Yeah.
So, I mean,
forgiven for.
I'm looking at his. I'm looking at his stats at the minute. Unbelievably, he did it in 2019 on 13 games. So there's no reason why he couldn't do it on 14.
I think he will. I think if you're a Mike Evans fantasy manager, you're like buzzing. This is unreal because he is going to be peppered.
Big time.
But still winning, you know, what need to win the games. Mike Evans wanting that 1,000 yards. That is, Mike Evans might be the best player in fantasy football for the last 3 weeks.
It's funny, in 2017 he had 1,001 yards, 2020 1,006 yards.
Yeah, listen, who cares? He's doing it. Lamar Jackson, 290 for 5. And 65.
He was good.
And 65. That's the guy who you just said has been wiped the floor for MVP with Josh Allen, Al. The man who just...
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the teams, you look at the records. I do think Jackson and the Ravens were clicking this week. It looked very good. I mean, Jackson just looked great. Against the Giants, though, but I mean, you know... I think it's got to be Josh Allen this year, really.
Yeah, 65 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson as well. Brian Thomas Jr., 10 for 105 and 2. Who needs Trevor Lawrence? Bloody hell. This is an exciting player. Very exciting for next season. He's been really good. Sort of not really mattered who's been throwing him the ball a lot of the times. James Conner, 110 for 2. And 5 for 28 in the air as well. Aaron Rodgers. God, Aaron Rodgers is on the nice list. No way. What's Santa Claus has made this list that Aaron Rodgers is on the nice list? 289 for 3, 2-point conversion. And this was the most shocking stat of all. 45 rushing yards for Aaron Rodgers in this game. What was going on in this game?
Ayahuasca retreat beforehand.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Devonta Smith, all with really nice games. Tajay Spears as well. Excellent game with only 5 rushing yards, but he was 6 for 87 through the air. CeeDee Lamb, James Cook as well. The naughty list, though, and this one is painful, because of who it is and the time of year, week one in the fantasy playoffs. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, both single digits. Both single digit games. The guys who got you through to the fantasy football playoffs may have just kicked you out of it as well. What can you say? There you go. That's that. Chuba Hubbard and Tony Pollard as well, same single digits, and they had pretty high projections. Tyreek Hill, poor game. Might have not had enough time to practice this week, though, taking care of his 1 million babies. Juwan Jennings, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, Brock Bowers, Tyron Tracy, Marvin Harrison Jr. These are all starters. I'm talking about starters here. All these guys did nothing for you, really, this week. And I want to mention these next two guys because I am worried going forward about these two guys in terms of next season and you know, seasons following. Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf. Lads, is it over for these guys?
I think it might be for Samuel. Hard to say with Metcalf. Hope not. He's just, you know, it's been, you've always really seen flashes with Metcalf, whereas Samuel had that standout season. So I think it's kind of done for Samuel. I'm not losing hope on Metcalf just yet, though.
I think Metcalf needs a change of scenery.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, oh yeah, big time. I could see him moving on somewhere and just going completely off.
I agree.
Like AJ Brown did. Like, because if you think about it, AJ Brown fantasy performance wise, it was exactly what DK Metcalf's been in Seattle when AJ Brown was at Tennessee, and then he goes to Philadelphia, and then he becomes one of the best receivers for fantasy in the whole league.
Yeah, I agree.
AJ Brown was not a consistent fantasy wide receiver when he was in Tennessee.
Yeah, and this comes hand in hand, obviously, with JSN and him sort of. I mean, look at the stats. He's pretty much the team's wide receiver one now. He's getting the work as he is. So, yeah, I agree with that. But two guys who did not. I mean, these guys actually gave you some points. These guys gave you some points. Cooper Kupp and Darnell Mooney did not. They are two guys who everybody out there would have started confidently. Confidently. Two guys who are top 15, maybe top 20 points per game at the position. And they goosed. Two golden gooses for the fantasy football playoffs. And also shout out to Will Levis and Jameis Winston for both scoring minus points this week. Love that.
No one was pointing him anyway. Can I just really quickly speak about Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, because we're rattling off all these names about, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, look how good Joe Burrow's doing. Does it not feel weird? Do you not miss, and I'm not even talking fantasy as much at the minute, do you not miss like talking about Mahomes like that? When's Mahomes going to be Mahomes? Like, I'm scrolling through his fantasy finishes and his average points per game, you know. He's first, what, I want to say, first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons in the league for fantasy. Two of those seasons, he was averaging 20 points a game. Three of them, he was above 24 points a game. And the past two seasons, he's been around about 16. And it's a bit like, and you I say that because you can see it on the field.
He needs a wide receiver. When he gets a wide receiver one.
Is that as simple as it is?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. Right. If you're talking about, was one of those seasons without Tyreek Hill then that you're talking about?
Because I just find it really strange. I'm watching the Chiefs at the weekend and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we didn't see Brady's whole career really. And I'm sure there were peaks and troughs in Brady's career, you know, the start, then with Moss, and then with kind of the defense running things in the late 2010s. So there's going to be peaks and troughs in Mahomes' career. And I'm just thinking, how long in the future is it going to be until maybe Kansas City aren't in every Super Bowl, but Mahomes is back to kind of perennial MVP player, or I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just a strange voice of it. Like, how long are we going to have to wait to see this player again?
It's a good show. I'm not sure, really, because they certainly have. I don't know. Something's missing.
Because we try and kind of target ourselves toward people who watch the NFL in the UK. Maybe people are only just starting getting into the NFL. And if you have only just got into the NFL over the past 2 years, you think we're all lying to you about how good Mahomes is.
Yeah, I'm sure
you are.
And you just say, like, I just hear the commentators talking about it all the time, but I don't see it. Well,
I did hear it the other day that I heard it, like, in terms of, like, Josh Allen. This is kind of what Patrick Mahomes does.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth. Yeah.
Collinsworth.
Let's move on, though. Lumps of coal in the stockings, lads. There's lumps of coal in the stockings for these folks. Injuries. Josh Allen went to the X-ray room after the Detroit win. Apparently took a funky fall, which isn't a new dance move. He just fell strangely, apparently. Nick Chubb suffered a broken foot. Goodbye, Nick Chubb. I'm very sorry. We love you. We love you, Nick Chubb. But I think this is it for fantasy, at least anyway. Patrick Mahomes, considered week to week. This guy's ankles must be made of, I think I've said this before, pasta, but dry pasta. because
I don't know, they seem pretty strong because he kind of still goes out there. He always looks like there's something wrong with his ankles.
He does, yeah.
Like, well, the way he walks.
Well, this is a high ankle sprain, so he's considered week to week. I mean, unless the Chiefs were chasing that number one seed, he's free to sit out, but go on.
Can I just say Josh Allen isn't listed on Wednesday's injury report? So nice. Let's scratch that one, Lou. Let's not worry Josh Allen owners out there.
No, I just
like you just did then.
The only reason it caught my eye was because the quote, the only part of the bit that he's quoted is funky fall. So it's very specific that he had a funky fall. Jalen Waddle, knee injury, didn't return in the Dolphins-Texans game. Jalen Waddle is one of the most injury-prone players I can ever, you know, remember. Alvin Kamara was ruled out with a groin injury. Jalen Hurts has a broken finger on his non-throwing hand. Who cares? He's not throwing the ball with it. Whatever. David Montgomery has torn his MCL. It's gutting. It's another massive blow to that team, but he's going to miss. I mean, I heard something that was like non-definitive about when he was, how long he's going to be out for. It's like, he's done for the year. What are you talking about? He's torn his MCL. So yeah, not great, not great there. And just a bit of news, certainly lumps of coal in the stocking for Kirk Cousins, who has been benched for Michael Penix Jr., which transitions us perfectly into our accountability segment, doesn't it, Al?
It does.
Unfortunately, it does.
Well,
for me,
Lou, you had Kirk Cousins, who surprisingly wasn't the worst quarterback chosen this week by one of us. None of us did well at the quarterback position, though. Lou, you had a miss with Cousins. Shakir, Faryamuth, and White pretty much all hit the projections, though. I had a miss with Kyler Murray, who's having a really strange season. Don't expect... What score was the Cardinals game? They won, so I was about to say don't.
Was it like 30-19 or something?
Yeah, I would still say then expect a weekly upload onto the Kyler Murray YouTube channel then. Don't expect one if they lose. Brian Robinson Jr., 11.7, was a miss. Jacoby Myers was just not a miss with 10.9 fantasy points. But Njoku, 17.2, was a nice little hit at my tight end position. Sharples, Tua Tagovailoa, 3.9. Oh, sorry, 3.84 fantasy points.
Thank you.
3.84. Tua Tagovailoa,
so 3.8 if you round it down, really.
Yeah, I mean... Miami, another team which I'm not sure what you do at this point.
Blow it up.
Yeah, potentially, but they've just given Tua an awful lot of money and he needs to start kind of pulling something out in these big games. AJ Brown, Chase Brown, I apologise, 26 points. He went off, as did McLaurin, 26 points at the wide receiver position. And then you were nice and sensible, smart with your tight end projection of Rock Clever.
Yes.
8 points to hit his projection. What else was the Rock Clever, Stone Smart? Does it have to be alliterated though? Stone, so we've got Stone Smart.
Rock Clever.
No, it's Brick Brainy.
Brick Brainy.
Or Brick Bright. Yeah.
Brick Bright, yeah.
Nice. Anyway. So sorry, Al. Did you have Njoku?
I did. Yeah. Have I read
he,
my?
He didn't play this week.
Oh,
I only know that because I was against you in sleeper and I completely forgot to update my lineup. And he was a zero. That was against the Steelers. He got 17.
But you still beat me.
I did still beat you. Yes.
Leave this in, Lou, because he still beat me. Leave it in. Yeah, I was looking at the last score he got with 17.
If you listen to this, it's being left in.
Yeah, apologies. I'm gonna add that to injury. I was looking at the last score he had, which was 17 against the Steelers. Chapel still beat me with a unfielded player, which some would say is against the spirit of the game. Not our commissioner, though, apparently, Lou.
No.
It's in your league.
It is in my league. which, listen, it's a, you know, it's a gentleman's league, really. I and it's, you know, it's an honour system, and I expect teams to let me know if they've had inactives.
I did check literally probably an hour and a half before the game, and he was showing us. I thought he was showing his active, which is why I just left him, and then I completely forgot. But there's only one thing left to say, Alan. You know what it is. It's the word that every man in that sleeper league fears. You've been chived.
Shambles, tell us your nickname. Tell us your team name in that league.
My team name is called Touch of Chives, and whenever I beat anyone, I send them a message saying, you've been chived.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry, I wouldn't have one of those messages though.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I got chived.
You've been chived by the best as well, to be fair. And also on Kirk Cousins, I know that, you know, who was it that last year picked a player who got benched and essentially retired? Because I know that I picked Kirk Cousins. We haven't. This isn't our first benching that's been picked on the projection beaters. You know what I mean?
You and
me
you
last. It was
Matt
me
Ryan.
With Andy Dalton or something.
No. It was you maybe the
Matt
year
Ryan.
Before with Matt Ryan.
Oh, I've retired him yet.
You know, but I don't think Cousins is heading to the booth just yet.
No.
Is all I'm saying.
No. Let's move on, lads. Though, let's move on. It's the festive season. I'm bringing back a much requested by me segment. The Fantasy Football Secret Santa, lads. I've got three players, and I'm going to tell you what they've gifted us as Secret Santa for Christmas, and you two are going to have to guess who this Secret Santa is. Okay? One of these is a bit misleading. It's a bit of a trick, but I'm not going to tell you which one. Let's start here, though. I'm going to give you the position of this guy. It's a wide receiver, right? And for Christmas this year, he's given you, on the season, 95 receptions, 4 receiving touchdowns, and 1,056 receiving yards. That's 5th in the whole league, despite coming into the season as a perceived failure at his position a little bit, you know. So he's getting the yards up there, you know. He's being generous with this gift. Who do you think it is?
I think it's Jerry Jeudy.
Shapples?
That sounds better than my pick. I was thinking Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin. Both good guesses, but... Al, you're right. It's Jerry Jeudy as the Secret Santa.
As soon as he said it.
5th in the league in receiving yards, which I was a bit...
That's really surprising because he's only kind of been making waves the past month.
Yeah, I know.
Not even that.
I mean, I'm picking these guys out because obviously I'm just looking at these anomalies in the stats, and when I was looking at receiving yards, I was sort of taken aback. I was like, what, Jerry Jeudy? 5th? How poor has this year been?
He must have got those in a short space of time, because wasn't he doing nothing for sort of like the first 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Was it sort of around Watson going out?
Well, he had about 200 yards in the game, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah,
so
he had a big one.
That's bumped him up, but yeah. Moving on. This player, that's all I'm going to say, for Christmas, lads, second Secret Santa, since week 11, this player has been the wide receiver... This player has scored 106 points since week 11, right? That's over 21 points per game in that 5-game stretch, right? He's been the wide receiver 6 in that time. In fact, in that period of 5 games, he's been the 12th best player in fantasy football, period. All positions, everything like that. You know, so making up for a bit of a slow start, he's packed his stocking full to the brim with fantasy points in the month leading up to Christmas. Who do we think this Secret Santa is?
I think I might know it because I think I drafted him. Is it Puka Nacua?
Al?
Well, I want to say Mike Evans because I've got something pretty similar about Mike Evans that I'm going to say in a segment in not too long of a time. But I don't think it is Mike Evans. But this person will be having a very similar sort of kind of end of season with Mike Evans. Let's go Cortland Sutton.
So remember when I said there was a trick one in here? This is Jonnu Smith. Tight end of the Miami Dolphins, who has been the 12th best player in fantasy football since week 11, averaging 21 points per game. And if he was a wide receiver, he would be the wide receiver 6.
And the Dolphins are wondering why they're struggling. You're just throwing the ball to Jonnu Smith. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah. Final Secret Santa this year, lads. It's a running back. I'll give you that. It's a running back. Okay. And since week 4, this running back has given you 19.1 PPF fantasy points per game, which is pretty daft. And he was, you know, that's also surprising considering this guy's fairly cheap. He was drafted as the running back 34 between rounds 10 and 12, yet here he is giving us almost 20 fantasy points per game for the majority of the season. Who is this final Secret Santa?
I had a guess until you said rounds 10 and 12, and then that started sending me scrambling.
I would guess Chase Brown. Let me just keep thinking. But I would probably guess Chase Brown.
Chase Brown sounds pretty spot on to me, actually, now I've said it here.
It is Chase Brown.
Yeah.
Chase Brown, since he's become the starter, has been excellent, really, for fantasy football. Excellent player, 19.1 points per game. You love that. And that's for the majority of the season as well. If you look at his game log and you see that uptick in carries, the fantasy points have come with it. He's been excellent, but that was Fantasy Football Secret Santa. Lads, hope you enjoyed it for another year.
Did.
Let's look ahead to the very festive Week 16. Week 16 in the National Football League, Christmas week. We do have some games literally being played on Christmas Day. Al, is he with you?
He is, yep. Come on in, Santa Claus.
Forget about it!
So we're going to start off with the forget about it section. Players that are locked into your lineup going into this week, no matter what, don't even think about it. Don't even try and next start decisions with these players. Just put them in there. So at the quarterback position, we've got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and Jaden Daniels.
Forget about it!
Running back position, Josh Jacob, who's on a tour right now, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley.
Forget about it!
Wide receiver position, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Nico Collins.
Forget about it.
Tight end position, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, George Kittle, Jonnu Smith. No, I'm joking.
No? Not the guy who just got you a lovely Secret Santa gift?
Forget about it.
To be fair, yeah, you probably... Come back, mate. You're probably going to have to play Jonnu Smith at the minute because he has been unbelievable for fantasy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Forget about it.
Lovely stuff. Christmas Tree of Projection Beaters returns. I know you both love this segment. The Christmas Tree of Projection Beaters. So, guys, who we think are going to outscore their ESPN projection by 4 or more points, I'm going to explain the positions on the Christmas Tree once again, like I do every year. We'll start off, Shavels is shaking his head, we'll start off at the running back position. This is the solid base of the Christmas Tree lights. Sharples, start us off.
The lights aren't the base. The trunk is the base.
No. I'm talking lights. About I'm talking decoration.
Lights be the base.
No, but this is decoration, though. The tree's just a tree. This is a Christmas tree, these are the decorations on the tree.
Right, okay.
Go ahead, Sharples.
I'm going with James Donner, not as in the kebab, as in one of Father Christmas's reindeer on Dasher, on Donner, on Blitzen. So
nice.
Far.
Joe Mixon.
Joe on Joe should have picked him. Damn. It's a hefty boys projection. This like a real meat and potatoes score. It's 20.1, but there's a reason for that. One of them is he's going up against the Carolina Panthers, who are terrible to watch, and also statistically they are giving up the most points to fantasy running backs currently. And don't look now, but James Conner's been on a bit of a tear. It's only been a 2-week tear, but it's a very big tear. It's a full on rip. 18 carries against Seattle turned that into 90 yards, got himself a receiving touchdown, and then against New England he went fully nuclear, 16 carries, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns for 30 points. He's got the green light, he's getting the carries, he's going up against a team that's an absolute sieve. What more is there to say?
Sieve man, nice. Al?
I've gone for Free French Etienne.
Oh my God, that is wonderful.
Yes.
That is absolutely that is wonderful.
Unreal.
Projected the 13.1 at Vegas. I'm feeling a touchdown this week for Travis Etienne. I'm telling you now, I'm calling a touchdown for Travis Etienne this week. It's been a while, but he looked pretty good last week, I thought. More carries than Bigsby, and clearly the better pass catcher. Las Vegas have allowed 9 touchdowns on the ground, plus 4 through the air so far this season to running backs. And of all the teams in the league that the Jags can probably score points on, the Raiders are one of them. So I'll go 3 French Etienne's.
Very nice. I'm going with Joy to the Worldathan Taylor.
One more time?
Joy to the Worldathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is my starter running back, projected 14.9. This guy needs a good game. Needs a very good game.
You said he should have been dropped.
I know, and I didn't want him to be because I wanted him as my projection beater this week. He had a good game statistically. Last week he was over 100 rushing yards. Really nice game. He just was a complete moron when it mattered. But so he needs to change that perception on him. He's going to get the opportunity to this week against the Titans, who started out the season as a pretty decent run defense, but have slowly but surely been leaking and leaking, and have now all of a sudden allowed a league high 18 total touchdowns to running backs. So, Taylor, come on, mate. Change that perception of you, because we all think you're a bit of a muppet at the minute. Al, we'll throw it to you for the baubles. The nice, decorative, flashy part of the Christmas tree, which is the wide receivers. He's shaking his head again, Sharples. Every year you disagree.
Lights are also decorative. Lights actually flash.
Humbug, couldn't think Sharples. Of one for this. Humbug.
I couldn't think of one for this, which wouldn't just be another 12 Days of Christmas thing. So I've got Mike Evans.
Yeah.
If you two can think of one while I'm going, please do. But this is a no-brainer. It's projected 16.7 at Dallas. Dallas allowing 28.6 fantasy points a game to wide receivers, 239 receiving yards a game, and 21 touchdowns on the season. Then we've got Mike Evans, who since his bye week in, I believe, week 11-ish, has been the wide receiver 5, 414 yards, 26 receptions, 3 touchdowns over the last 4 games played.
Nice. Sharples?
I went for Christmas Treenan Allen.
Nice. Nice.
Wide receiver, Chicago Bears. Projected 13.8 points against the Detroit Lions. We've obviously already talked about the Lions and their calamitous defense recently. They're giving up the 5th most points to fantasy wide receivers. It's a risky one. The Bears are not exactly rolling. And despite the fact that he had a stinker against San Francisco, his other 3 games around that, he had 24 points against Minnesota, 24 points against the Detroit Lions, and 20 points against Minnesota again. I feel like recently he's been the go-to guy there in that offense. they're probably going to be trailing for the bulk of it, so you'd hope they're going to be slinging it. And yeah, I think 13.8 points given those circumstances is a little bit miserly. It's not very festive, so that's why I'm nice. Keenan Allen.
Lovely. Mike Elvins.
Mike Elvins would work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's better than mine.
I'm going with Court Winter Wonderland
yours?
Sutton.
I'll tell what you was about, mine was this year I asked for a mountain bike Evans.
Nice. Nice.
Sorry, Cortland.
Court Winter Wonderland Sutton.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Projected 13.6. Sutton been averaging almost 10 targets a game since his goose in week 7. Usage has been beautiful. So's the fantasy production. He's the wide receiver 10 since week 8 to now. That's half the season. Half the season, Cortland Sutton's been a top 10 wide out. And he's actually a wide receiver 1 anywhere if you account for the whole season stats. So it's been a fairly low-key, decent year for Sutton. This week gets to face a Chargers secondary that just got absolutely cooked through the air by Baker Mayfield and Mike Elvins. So they're also giving up a hell of a lot of touchdowns to wide receivers. I think Sutton gives us plenty to cheer about this Christmas week. Let's go to the tinsel, the tacky tinsel that no one likes, but it's for some reason it's on some people's Christmas trees. This is the tight end position. Sharples.
So I didn't really see too many that I liked, so I've gone for what's hopefully not going to be a miss. Daniel Bell, Carol Singer. Daniel Bellinger. That one's tough. I was going to say Bellinger because bells are quite Christmassy.
Bellies, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought I'm gonna put some bottle line up. We only get one Christmas episode a year.
Daniel Bells are ringing.
That would have been much better. Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Bells are ringing. Yeah. Tight end for the Giants going up against the Atlanta Falcons projected a very large, very respectable 5.5 points. Not got too much to say about this one. He's been goosing a lot of times this season, but the first choice tight end for the Giants, I believe he was a rookie. Can't remember his name because I don't care about the Giants. He went down a couple of weeks ago, and since then, Bellinger has become an actual part of the offense. I'm not going to say a focal point or any large part of the offense, but he is a part of it. Got himself 9.5 points and then 6.5 respectively against the Saints and Baltimore. And the Falcons aren't that great either. So hopefully he can catch the ball at least once and won't be a miss.
Excellent. Al?
Mate, Jingle Bellinger. That's Jingle Bellinger. Teed up for you, that one.
You're right.
I've gone for Brenton Gift Exchange. Brenton Strange, a.k.a. the Big Weirdo.
Yeah.
As his mates call him, weirdo. Projected 8.1 at Las Vegas. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. He plays for the Jaguars, I've only just remembered that one. Big week last week, so maybe Mac Jones likes him. 11 catches for 73 yards last week. Excellent matchup too against Vegas. Bottom five against fancy tight ends. So give me the big weirdo, the strange guy.
Nice. I'm going with Chig Eggnog Woe. Projected 7.2. Chig Okonkwo. he's absolutely peppered last week by both quarterbacks that played for the Tennessee Titans. 10 targets, 8 receptions. Hopefully, that usage is going to continue against a very exploitable defense for tight ends, the Indianapolis Colts, who've given up the third most points to the position this season. And let's move on to the star on top of the Christmas tree. It's the quarterback position, Alex Sharples.
That's your only tree metaphor that makes sense, by the way. The rest are murky.
We'll try again next year. Yes. When I say try again, I'll do the exact same thing.
Yeah. This is a nice safe one. Baker Slayfield projected.
Yes.
17.
Good.
17.9 points against the absolutely atrocious Dallas Cowboys, currently giving up the third most points to fantasy quarterbacks. I think it's going to be quite a high scoring game, as these kind of matches seem to do for both teams, actually. They can both put up points. Cowboys still technically in a playoff hunt. They've not got nothing to play for, put it that way. So I don't think it's just going to be a nothing game. There's certainly more on the line for the Buccaneers. But I think it should be pretty juicy. Mayfield last week was absolutely flamethrower, and it 4 touchdowns, 288 yards. Him and Mike Evans are going for that 1,000-yard streak again. And 17.9 is a high watermark, but Mayfield this year, currently the quarterback 5. He stalled a couple of times, but generally he's been getting 20 points or so pretty consistently, and I think the stinky Cowboys aren't going to stop him.
Nice. I agree. Al?
Yeah, I've got a layup here as well. I've gone for Bo St. Nick's.
Nice.
Projected 15.4 at the Chargers. Many of the same reasons that you said for Sutton, Lou. You know, Mayfield just torched the Chargers. So maybe they're not one of those defenses that you're looking to avoid. Maybe you can stream people against them. And I do think that, you know, Nick's he's going to be confident coming off what started off as a really terrible game, but showed him being able to come back and play in adverse situations at the weekend with the 3 touchdowns. He's been averaging easily over the 15 points in weeks 5 to 12. It's slowed down a bit recently, but I expect it to pick up again in this divisional matchup. So, yeah, Bo St. Nick's.
Nice. I'll round us out with Matthew Stafford.
Good.
Another layup. Projected 16. Awful week offensively last week. Cooper Kupp had no receptions. You know, no touchdowns scored. None of these things are going to happen 2 weeks in a row for a Sean McVay Rams team. They'll bounce back, get Kupp more involved, and in turn rely on Stafford again. They play a good defense to bounce back against as well in the Jets. You know, say what you want about the playmakers in heavy quotation marks on this Jets defense, but they've been mediocre. They just gave up 294 for 2 to Mac Jones, albeit 2 picks, I know. But Stafford and the Rams, they're going to be able to move the ball effectively in this game against this Jets team in a match which could actually be competitive, considering the Jets woke up from the 14-week-long slumber this past week. So Matthew Stafford for me. And let's round it out by looking at Christmas future sharples. Give us the week 16 game tiers.
Yeah, pretty even split, I'd say. Quite a few good ones. A lot of teams sort of in the hunt for the playoffs, which always makes things a bit spicy. I've got 2 in the great. I've got Ravens, Steelers and Eagles, Commanders.
Nice.
On to the good. We've got Seahawks, Vikings, Cowboys, Buccaneers, Chargers, Broncos, Lions, Bears, only because the Lions automatically make something a good game. Into the mare, we got Chiefs, Texans, Panthers, Cardinals, Jets, Rams, Bengals, Browns, Bills, Patriots, Packers, Saints.
That Chiefs, Texans should be in great, shouldn't it? But it's just not.
No. Into the bad, Falcons, Giants, Colts, Titans, Raiders, Jaguars.
Yep.
Yeah. And that'll do us, I think, lads, for the next couple of weeks. Any closing thoughts?
Just have a great Christmas and best of luck in your fantasy championships. Obviously, normally fantasy championships will be next week, so keep an eye on the Instagram. We will be putting our projection beat. It's for championship week on there. So best of luck and have a very good Christmas.
That's it. I didn't even clock, obviously, that this is maybe the last meaningful projection beaters episode of the season, you know. And we will obviously still be doing it as the regular season finishes up and then coming at you with as the playoffs are on as well. But yeah, that's, you know, we'll give it our best. I think the projection beaters were significantly worse this year.
Well, time will tell. We'll talk that up in January.
Time will indeed tell, but have a lovely Christmas. All the best in your fantasy championships.
Lou, just before we sign off, I wanted to pay homage to yourself because you put a lot of effort into this Christmas episode. Me and Al are both appreciative of it. And as you started this podcast with a little ditty, I have one myself.
Oh, yes. Please do. Please do.
'Twas the week before Christmas. I'm not a sound in the hive. No bees are buzzing. Alex Brindle, you've been chived.
See ya.
Merry Christmas.
Very good. Merry Christmas, everyone. See ya.